artistic language and expressive gestures is to realize a platform of gesture interactions for scientific and artistic uses. The project began 4 years ago with an interdisciplinary meeting, and this project was encouraged by the LabEx R H2H till last year. So the team of the project groups linguists, art computing researcher, biomechanics, experimental methods engineers, and artists, theater and poetry. It's tucked. Okay, thank you. No?
Thanks.
Ah. Okay, sorry. So we have created four databases of gestures, from symbolic gesture, co-verbal and choral conducting, to expressive gestures, mime and poetry in French sign languages. The gestures were captured with four actors in a professional motion capture studio, which is Solid Anime near Paris, with 20 Vicon cameras. From these databases, one of the first steps is to extract gestural units or gestural prosody, whatever the type of gesturality, mime, sign language, poetry, choir conductor, and co-verbal gestures. So the second step concerns our understanding of these gestures. In parallel, the researcher in digital art built a virtual agent with several behaviors able to animate these gestures. Jean-François and Judith will present it later after the pose, I think. So first, let's see the isolated gestures, the co-verbal gesture database. The approach for this database is kinesiology. The kinesiological investigation is coupled with the semantic analysis. I will present it in the next slides. So motions and gestures are analyzed by the LAM, Laboratoire d'Analyse du Mouvement, and the SFL laboratory. And you can see here in the left, in the figure on the left. The main purpose is to explore the gestures, building in a physiological or kinesiological model based on linguistics. Another aspect is the automatic extraction of the meaningful part of the gesture called the stroke, and you can see here on the right of the slide. The results of those studies are reused in the interaction step of the project. In fact, this work is still in progress. So in order to formalize meaning gesture, we have to extract the substratum where the sense generates, namely the body. Besides the representational gesture for which the meaning is grounded in iconicity for visual referent, a V for victory and so on, what is the origin of no, this one or this one, refusal or introduction or... So certainly not a physical referent. So at least we can formalize the movements of these gestures. For instance, here, for refusal, you can see here, the schema of the movement through forearm and through the hand. And you can see an example below. So this formalization allows to categorize the movement and the variations. To do that, we distinguish the body as a support, or körper, where the movement is going on, from the body as a substratum, or Leib, you said this morning. So as a substratum of the emergence of the meaning. So let's see just the principles more than the details of this decision tree. At the top, we are dealing with a segment where the gesture begins, the hand or the arm. The first dichotomy has a meaning consequence. Each step of this tree has a level of meaning. The more in surface, the more precise the meaning. So, here in this fourth stage. First step on the top, the movement of the gesture begins on the arm or on the hand. If the movement first affects the hand, then the meaning of the gesture is more related to handling of entities. In the movement begins on the if the movement begins on the arm, the gesture is more dealing with interaction with someone. For the second step, we detail the hand branch, this one. If the position of pronation, supination is not marked at the beginning of the gesture, then the gesture is related to the positioning with respect to items. On the contrary, if the position is marked, then the gesture is linked to a positioning more in terms of judgment, and so on and so forth. So until the fourth step, which is at a more obvious level of meaning assignment. You are not surprised if I say that the issue is to reach an automatic meaning recognition. For now, this recognition is not implemented in the virtual agent, and Jean-François and Judith will present this virtual agent. Okay. Up to you.
So this was devoted to the gestures in isolation and related to the co-verbal gesture. But we are also interested in when these gestures are in strings in discourse, and especially for the sign language database in poetry. This leads us to consider the way information is organized in discourse, and this has to do with the relative silence of the gesture or signer uses in encoding this information. And this is true for both modalities, oral, or visual and gestural. So one of the linguistic issues we addressed here is what the prosodic units in of sign languages, how shall we characterize them, how can we find the relevant units in a gestural flow, can we think about the way we can cut this flow, to segment this flow, and rebuild a coherent string from isolated gestures again to get this interaction finally. So after many authors, we studied intonation, prosody in sign languages through the movement of the hands, torso, and head, considering their suprasegmental dimensions. In sign language literature, we meet some relevant parameters, such as duration of the movements, but also of the holds, of the pose. And usually, it concerns manual articulators. But we also meet stress, emphasis, and usually it deals with both manual and non-manual articulators. And for instance, on the slide, Penny Boys-Brehm in the sign language of Switzerland has noted body leans and head movements. And she has video recorded native and non-native signers signing in a relative spontaneous way. And she observed that in native signers, there's a systematic coincidence between discourse units and these non-manual patterns. And recently, motion capture, of course, has provided us with the measures of movement that we lacked before. And for instance, Wilbur and Martinez on the slide addressed how velocity, acceleration, and jerk variations are perceived by signers. But this study, for instance, was focused on manual hand and arm segments. And in previous studies, we tried to show that this issue of interaction between non-manual and manual articulators contribute to the fine-grained analysis of prosody in sign languages we need. And then we focused on prosodic patterns involved either in emphasis, silence, or on the contrary, in retrieval of information. So to sum up and to give only some elements on the background, from the sign linguistics literature, we have compiled prosodic cues for silence, including focalization in the process of emphasis, and illustrated them for French Sign Language. Briefly, when a lexical item is put in focus, the size and the duration of the hands movements can be increased, the location of the hands can be raised, manual movements can be associated with body and forward head movements. On the contrary, or in the opposite effect, we observed three means to break with the prosodic environment to provoke parenthetical effect. So these means are a break in the distribution of sign location and the signer's body positions, a reduced range of motion of signs, and a break in rhythmic patterns for this synchronization or attunement for hands and body. So we spoke a lot about the synchronization and desynchronization, so I'm not sure this is the exact term, but we used it until now. The signers use several manual and non-manual joints simultaneously. Each joint follows its own pattern, though it remains constrained in distribution with the other joints. And we hypothesize synchronization and desynchronization between manual and non-manual beats in the keystone of sign prosodic structure, is the keystone of the sign prosodic structure. And could play, of course, a role in a global general prosodic structure between the two signers building together a general prosodic pattern. So in the Sigal project, there is this part with poetry in sign language. And poetry is especially interesting for us since this is a register where signers underline everything and plays with rules. So, for instance, in the following clips you will see, the deaf poet uses a larger, broader signing space as compared to everyday signing. And some of the Sigal data have been used in a periphery study, the one of Fanny Cato, who was here yesterday with us. She has conducted a study focused on the prosody characteristic in this gestural flow, and the way interpreters translated these parameters in vocal prosody. So in this subcorpus in Sigal data, six poetic chunks have been repeated with prosodic variation. So with regular speed. It's only a chunk. And this is the same, but not the same because of the speed. So we tagged prosodic units we found relevant either for their silent properties or when they brought rhythmic patterns to our attention. And in this other abstract, you can pay attention to the contrastive string of signs with either rather long primary movements for the sign word and rather short secondary oscillating movements for the sign agréable. Once again. So with the manual coding, we try to build and to use some way to code these constructive movement patterns. And we also use the measures of duration that we can use even with the video recording. And it was not a surprise that when it's slower, the duration of the sequences and the duration of each sign is longer and respectively long as the regular fast and slow commands. And then we use also the biomechanics data.
So we started investigating biomechanic data, focusing on stressed chunks, repeated movement types, among other measures. We computed the movement quantity. It is a mean of the speeds of all joints of the body. I think many people here have already spoken about it. And it allows to characterize the global intensity of the movements and to understand the prosody variations on these dynamic curves. Okay. You can see acceleration peaks followed by a sudden deceleration. And these peaks correspond to manually annotated impulsions in poetic sequences. And of course, repeated patterns also appear on these curves, like here. You can see three times about the same gesture. And now I'm going to talk about the choir conducting data we recorded. So we work with a professional choir conductor. We recorded a few pieces he was working on at that time, and among the especially the three Shakespeare songs by Vaughan Williams. And we did it with and without music. The with music condition was his own conducting, recorded like a week or a few weeks before while he was conducting his choir. And because, of course, when we did this in the with the mock-up, there was no choir. It was just him conducting the, like nobody. But still, we were very interested in his gesture. So the without music was him playing the music in his head while conducting it with a score. We also did a few pick-up measures, like, you know, when you have the beginning of a piece, like right before, how do you impulse the character and the tempo and everything. And also we recorded a few data of the beating, like how do you convey tempo. I'm just going to show an excerpt. Oui, je sais pas s'il y a le son en fait sur le.
Oui, avec le son.
Typos at the beginning, of course. Thank you.
Non, c'est pas très.